Welcome back, everybody, to the Matrix Online Revisited Podcast. I am Vesuvius, and this is our fifth episode for our speculation podcast, The Original Matrix 4, where we discuss the Matrix Online storyline and speculate as to which story elements and characters might make it into the upcoming Matrix 4. If you haven't already, subscribe to this podcast on Spotify or your favorite podcast app. Also, follow me on Instagram, at VesuviusMXO, for daily Matrix content. And that's my home for all my online exploits. You can find links to my YouTube channel and my Matrix Online merchandise. I have links in the show notes, but for now, enjoy Chapter 5.
All right, we put it off long enough, Chapter 5.
We gotta jump in. So Anom steals the cheat codes from Niobe and locks her in an encrypted construct. Time moves more slowly inside the construct, and the Merovingian offers to help reach Niobe for a price. So Lazarus, thoughts on Anom stealing the cheat codes?
Well, I mean, you did describe the cheat codes a little bit, but when we're talking about a Matrix 4 movie, I mean, this is the opportunity, should they elect to go this route, which I doubt, but should they elect to go the full MCU, you know, comic book version of this movie, this is your opportunity to do so, because, you know, these cheat codes and Anom's group, I don't know if they really, did they give us the details of what these cheats look like yet?
We start to see what they do in 5.2.
Yeah, so I don't want to get
right
too
now
far
it's just Anom's betrayal. The shark has not quite been jumped.
I think all that we know about them right now is they will enhance people in the Matrix with special powers, but I don't think we see them until, the next subchapter.
Okay, but that was a point that I brought up the last time that we spoke, in terms of this being where Anom betrays Niobe, and, you know, in terms of a Matrix 4, assuming that we have a Niobe, even though I would doubt that we have the Anom character, if we have an affiliated character or, you know, an assistant to Niobe, spoiler alert, don't be surprised if he betrays her.
Yeah, potential spoiler alerts all over this podcast.
Yes, in case the new movie is based on this video game that you can't play anymore, sorry if we spoiled you. But it's not really spoilers, you're just finding out late.
Yeah, I was just going to say, we've known for years.
So, you know, this Anom character, so far he's caused some blunders. He's sticking his nose in places where, you know, it's really not appropriate. He's got like a nerdy voice. He's an unlikable character, and then he goes and betrays Niobe.
And he doesn't just betray her, he shoots her. And again, even with, you know, the emergency jack out and all that, there's always just, you know, seeing, you know, a named character that characters are familiar with just blowing away a movie character is a shocking development, because that's second time in a little over a year. You lost Morpheus, we lost Ghost Hair, and now maybe unless things, you know, unless players get their act together, maybe they'll lose Niobe too.
Right, and actually when I saw the cinematic originally, I thought that that was the Morpheus dying. I thought that was the Niobe being killed moment. I do believe that the Merovingian actually helps retrieve Niobe, which was interesting because they did all of that setting up of her, you know, trying to go after him, and then the Merovingian is actually the one to help bring her back.
That is the most delicious part of that. That is the most, probably one of the Merovingian's finest hours, because the price he asks is nothing. Because he saved Niobe. She owes him now. She's too honorable to go back on that, so she can't go about avenging Morpheus. That's perfect. I love that part.
And one detail that we haven't mentioned yet is Niobe opens up the case, and she does start to drink one of the vials. It is at that point that she's shot. Spoiler alert, she does survive, partly because of what she drank, and also, you know, it's not like it was a headshot, but the emergency jackout that we had talked about earlier wasn't invoked. She was still alive. So perhaps he didn't mean to kill her, just to trap her and get her out of the way. Locks her up in an encrypted construct, and then moves about his business with these cheat codes.
He's also not alone on this. He has people on his hovercraft yanking jacks. He's got people in the room opening fire. He has planned this, and he has followers. So it's not quite like Cypher just doing it on his own. He has a twisted agenda.
Right, and he, in your other point, he has his own group.
And up to this point, with the exception of the Sleepwalkers, every group that has been introduced that consists of Red Pill's players have had a chance to join. Not so here, and you'll find out why, I think, in the next chapter.
Yeah, I think they intended for players to interact a little bit more, but we can talk about that after we get the 5.2 outline. Anome's crew gains powers through the cheat codes, despite Anome compiling weaker, diluted versions that corrupt player RSIs, or other character RSIs. Adverse effects include the inability to jack out, and a user's RSI remaining in the Matrix after death in the real. And I think that that's an interesting thing because, of course, we're talking about, can these story elements translate to the Matrix 4? So right here we talk about this old cheat code from another version of the Matrix, and an adverse effect is that an RSI can remain in the Matrix after somebody is killed in the real. So, Lazarus, thoughts on these cheat codes?
Well, for starters, you know, these cheat codes could certainly apply to the one in that regard. So that could be another very easy angle to bring back Neo. We talked about the kid being the first one to kind of self-substantiate, and he's not the one. So, you know, now we're talking about cheat codes that would allow anyone who takes the cheat codes to have this effect. We also saw the athlete and world record do this through, you know, pushing himself physically to break the world record to run faster than anyone ever has. So we've seen this, you know, not just in one person. We've seen this not just in the one. And then we have this now cheat code version of it. So, you know, this might be a hack that we see in the Matrix 4.
Isn't it kind of the opposite of that, though? Self-substantiation is waking up without the red pill. It's breaking through and seeing reality. This, what this does, it lets the mind exist without the body. It lets you stay jacked in forever. In fact, you have no choice. You're in there for good. While your body withers and dies, your mind will go on. It's more similar to what Neo did in Revolutions when he separated his mind from his body.
No, like that, to that point, I always kind of, I do agree with you to a degree, but I always kind of put that kind of in the same category because of that moment of the train station and Mobile Lab and Neo being able to still exist without the hardware. I always kind of, for me, I always saw Smith being able to resurrect himself because he saw Neo come back. And, you know, he talks about how, you know, I saw you die. You know, you broke the rules. So, okay, so now Smith saw the death recovery hack in real time. And I feel like Neo's experience with the kid is what gave him the inspiration or the idea to be able to do something similar for himself to save his own life.
I feel like both Smith's return as well as Neo's ability to jack in through the Sentinels, I don't think either were fully explained, and I think that was intentional. I think there was supposed to be an intentional amount of mystery and ambiguity to both. As for how that relates back to this chapter of Matrix Online, it's got people shooting laser beams out their eyes and flying around with angel wings. It's the most comic book thing you can imagine. This is also the point where the cinematics went from using game graphics to being hand-drawn, so it really looks like a motion comic, and I don't see this working for Matrix. Even though Matrix is already sort of a modern superhero thing, it looks so much like 60s Silver Age stuff that I can't see it working in film. And once we get into what Anome and his followers want, that makes it seem even less likely a candidate to be adapted. But that's later.
Yeah, I mean, again, we don't know if any of this is going to be used. Let's assume for this part of the conversation that it is, you know, to your point about it having that old school comic element. I mean, it's very storyboard looking. The cinematics completely are animated storyboards to that point.
I will say that I did like these cinematics. They were basically black and white with like a little bit of color that like for some green effect for like some code and stuff like that. But I like these. I like the fact that Paul Chadwick animated these. The Matrix, you know, I kind of bought into it because, you know, The Matrix was supposed to be a live-action comic book, and it pulled it off very well in 1999. So when they kind of went back to, like, the roots, and I know that there was some circumstance there, I like these cinematics. I didn't particularly like the powers that they got, like the laser eyes, and, you know, one of the guys had, like, what, six arms or eight arms or something like that.
Kabloko, yeah, I think we get to him a little bit. Yeah, there's also sort of a disconnect here where the budget and staff cuts come into play, where in the cinematics, the Anum's group are depicted as having these fantastical, incredibly comic book abilities, but in-game, they're just... they don't really have any powers, they're just hard-to-beat red pill-type enemies. The only, like, visual unique thing about them is they have green code leaking out of their eyes like tears, which is, that is a great image. I wouldn't mind seeing that used in a movie, but just the rest of the whole Anum arc, I don't like it, and I don't think it'd make a good movie.
Yeah, it was a hugely unpopular portion of the storyline. However, if we are talking about, you know, some influence, you know, Anum and some of the people around him, you know, we mentioned Kobaklo, he kind of played as, you know, a little bit of Anom's conscience, and Anum didn't like that and wound up turning on Kobaklo. So if we're talking about characters that might translate over, Kobaklo was there just to flesh out Anum because Anum was abused before he was unplugged from the Matrix.
We're getting a little ahead of ourselves here. Isn't that like chapter 5-3?
But you know, they do start to plant some of these things even I think earlier. It doesn't show up in the outline that I'm presenting, but you know, you definitely get the sense that Anum is not straight.
Mentally speaking, he's definitely unhinged. Is what I'm not trying to put words in your mouth.
Yeah, mentally.
Right, and then the you know, having the cheat codes, you know, and him being the one to, you know, be the self-proclaimed leader and, you know, basically say, I say who gets what, you know, the power is getting to his head, and the power of having, you know, the superhuman abilities has only enhanced his mental problems.
And they're all nuts. I think it's explicitly stated at some point that all of them had some documented psychological problems. So the machine's like, Zion, what are you doing waking up these mentally unstable people? Look at what they're doing. And what they're doing, they are causing chaos. While all the other organizations are fighting for something, these guys are just doing it because they like it, apparently. They just like just causing death and destruction with their new powers.
So later on in chapter 5.3... we are introduced to Brenda Utley. She is the president of the Pendhurst Amaranth Corporation, which appears in the city. They report the Unlimits, which is, you know, Anom's group, poisoning products from Pendhurst Amaranth, including Tasty Wheat. And the machines are now on board hunting these Unlimits. So short little outline there. And I feel it doesn't push the story too much, except for it's just fleshing out the city a little bit. You have this new character, Brenda Utley, and they mentioned Tasty Wheat, which is a great callback.
That's great. It also just shows how much these are, again, I think the comic villains, they are Saturday morning cartoon villains at this point, the Unlimited Organization. You know, Cypherites, E Pluribus Neo, even the Merovingian characters, they're all fighting for something or someone. These guys, hey, you know what would be great? Let's poison children's cereal. That's not in the movie. 0%. There's no ideology. They're just crazy.
Yeah, and I was going to say that this chapter, at least in this cinematic, you know, it's really just them tearing stuff up and creating havoc, and that's about it. That's, you know, all they're about is destruction.
Just Anum just lets loose with the Force Lightning green blast on anyone who dares disagree with him.
Okay, so are we agreed that we can start going into 6.1?
Please.
Yes.
Look at them. It's the last thing you'll ever see, Anum.
Wrong. You see, you're on the same hovercraft that I'm on. And so is my good buddy, who's removing your jackknife.